A Philippine senator questioning how the Dargani siblings got past immigration officers during their botched attempt to flee the country. The World Health Organization warns Europe's COVID-19 death toll could top 2.2 million by March due to the latest surge. The Philippines planning to reopen its borders to foreigners from low-risk countries. We'll tackle that with Tourism Secretary Bernadette Romulo Puyat. And champion pole vaulter EJ Obiena hitting back at Philippine sports officials over allegations of mishandling funds. Hi, I'm Karina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. We begin with this story. Philippine Senator Risa Ontiveros questioning the role of the Bureau of Immigration behind the foiled attempt of Formalese Dargani siblings to leave the country. Twinkle and Mohit Dargani were on board a private plane bound for Kuala Lumpur when they were arrested. They were ordered detained by the Senate for not cooperating with its probe into government's pandemic supply deals. Ontiveros points out the siblings got past immigration officers, even if a lookout bulletin order was already issued against them.
Ano ba ang procedure? Paano at pinasakay pa sila ng aircraft? Additionally, since my committee exposed the Pastilla scheme, interesado ako to dig deeper. But could it be possible na nabigyan ng pastillas itong mga frontline immigration officers? Or baka naman sila ang nakatulong na ma-inform ang mga otoridad kung kaya dapat sila pasalamatan? What is the story?
Ontiveros also reveals the cost of formerly officials' chartered flight reached $37,000, or nearly 2 million pesos. She says that's a huge sum compared to the taxes that the Dargani siblings had paid.
Kaya, ang nais kong itanong sa susunod na hearing ay ito. Kung kinaya ng mga Dargani na magbayad ng ganyang halaga na halos 2 million pesos para sa isang chartered flight, mukhang hindi tama ang income tax na binayaran nila. At bukod pa dyan, kung hindi sila ang nagbayad, ang tanong tuloy, sino ang nagbayad? The Darganis must be very important to that person or those persons who paid for it.
A grim warning from the World Health Organization as COVID-19 cases balloon once more in Europe. The WHO says as much as 700,000 people more could die of COVID in Europe by March. Total fatalities there have already surpassed 1.5 million as the daily rate doubles from late September to 4,200 a day. High or extreme stress in intensive care units also expected in 49 out of 53 European countries by March. A lockdown is currently in effect in Austria. The WHO blames the surge on the high number of unvaccinated people and the relaxation of pandemic measures. In France, more than 30,000 new COVID-19 infections have been recorded just in the past 24 hours. That's the highest daily caseload in the country since August. Authorities said the pace of infection has accelerated despite new social distancing curbs and wider vaccinations. The daily cases were up 54% compared to last Tuesday. Well, it's a different story here in the Philippines where COVID infections continue to decline. Active cases have fallen to 18,000, the lowest since June 13, 2020. Among the most improved regions, Metro Manila, which is now has a 7-day average of just 293 cases. The Octo Research Group says it's the first time that figure has dipped below 300 since January. But the University of the Philippines' COVID-19 pandemic response team warns further loosening restrictions at this time may lead to a relapse.
Ang sinasuggest nga namin, baka pwedeng i-consider ito after the holidays, January. NCR is not an island. May kalapit siyang Region 4A, Region 3, and actually, yung mga kalapit bayan niya, hindi pa kasing tulad ng NCR yung vaccine coverage. Actually, less than 50% pa din yung vaccine coverage sa mga karating probinsya.
President Rodrigo Duterte rallying the nation to participate in the upcoming national vaccination days. During his public address Tuesday, the president said the health department aims to inoculate 15 million people in 16 areas outside Metro Manila. That's from November 29 to December 1. He appealed to local chief executives to help achieve this goal.
I also appeal to all governors and mayors. Dalhin ninyo ang mga constituents ninyo sa mga vaccination sites, sa mga hospitals, malls, at maging sa mga Jollibee at McDonald's branches para mabakunahan na sila. Sanay ang mga governor and mayor paghakot ng tao, so dapat kayang-kaya din nila ito. Hindi na kailangan sabihin sa sanay ang mga gobyerno at mayor. Sanay ito sila sa eleksyon maghakot.
Duterte also touted some progress in the country's vaccination program, such as the inoculation of over 3 million minors and the rollout of booster shots. In total, the Philippines has fully vaccinated 33.8 million people. U.S.-based drug makers Merck and Ridgeback Biotherapeutics call for Philippine volunteers in the clinical trials of their anti-COVID pill, molnupiravir. The third phase of the clinical trial begins this month at the Asian Hospital and Medical Center and at the Carino Memorial Medical Center. The volunteers must be at least 18 years old and staying in the same household as a COVID patient. Molnupiravir is currently allowed for compassionate use in several Philippine hospitals. The city of Manila has procured 40,000 of these pills. Manila Mayor Francisco Isko Moreno Domagoso says non-Manila residents may also avail of the medicine.
Kung buhay naman ang pinag-uusapan natin. This is a universal problem. It has to be approached inclusively. And that is a policy.
Two more petitions seeking to block the presidential bid of Ferdinand Marcos Jr. have been raffled to the Second Division of the Commission on Elections. Our correspondent Ina Reformina now on the line to tell us more about this. Ina, go ahead.
Yes, Casey, two more petitions lodged before the Commission on Elections against the presidential bid of Partido Federal ng Pilipinas aspirant Ferdinand Marcos Jr. have been raffled off to the Second Division. This is the same division handling the first petition for cancellation of Marcos's certificate of candidacy. These two petitions, recently raffled, were filed by independent presidential aspirant Tiburcio Marcos, which is also a petition for COC cancellation, and the second by another independent presidential aspirant, Danilo Lihay-Lihay, which is a petition to declare Marcos a nuisance candidate. Unlike the other petitions, where petitioners made public the grounds they raised against Marcos, the Tiburcio Marcos and Lihay-Lihay petitions were filed without any media advisory and a media brief from the COMELEC Education and Information Department on the details will be in anytime soon. Under the rules of procedure of the commission, those who have the legal standing to file a nuisance candidate petition are aspirants for the same post. The grounds for a case such as this are when an aspirant files his or her COC just to put the election process in mockery or disrepute, cause confusion among voters by similarity of names, or by any other act demonstrating lack of bona fide intent to run for public office. Marcos will be given 5 days to file his sworn answer. In the case of cancellation of COC, there is only one ground under the rules of the COMELEC, which is an allegation of material false representation or any untrue entry on the COC. And similarly, respondent has 5 days to file his answer. The COMELEC Second Division is composed of Commissioner and former Court of Appeals Magistrate Socorro Inting and Commissioner and former Justice Undersecretary Antonio Cord Jr. In the event of a split vote, a third COMELEC commissioner will come in to vote on the case. Aside from these three petitions I mentioned, there are two other petitions blocking Marcos's presidential bid. One petition intervention, also for COC cancellation, filed by professionals, and a petition for disqualification filed by martial law survivors. It is hard to tell, KC, if these and all other petitions against similarly situated national and local candidates will be resolved before the December 15 deadline for finalization of the list of official candidates in preparation for the January 15 commencement of ballot printing. But the COMELEC has repeatedly said it will try to resolve these cases in December. And what is clear is if COC cancellation petitions, nuisance candidate petitions, and disqualification petitions are still pending with the COMELEC on the day of canvassing of votes, and no order to suspend proclamation is handed down by the COMELEC, nor any restraining order from a court of law, then the winning candidate subject of these cases shall still be proclaimed. And that is our latest election update. Ina Reformina, ABS-CBN News.
Casey. Thanks a lot, Ina. Take care and you keep safe. Moving on with the rest of the news this noon. The International Criminal Court prosecutor seeks more information from the Philippines that would support its request for a referral, make that deferral of the probe into Duterte's bloody drug war. In a letter to the ICC pretrial chamber, Karim Khan says the Philippines' submission must consist of tangible evidence showing concrete steps are being taken to determine culpability. While his office's probe is temporarily suspended, Khan says they will continue analyzing evidence it already has or may continue to receive. The Supreme Court junks a petition compelling President Duterte to defend the Philippine territory amid incursions from Chinese ships. Our very own Mike Navalio now joins us on the line for more details. Mike, go ahead.
Hi, Carmina. The Supreme Court has junked a lawyer's plea to compel President Rodrigo Duterte to sue China over its incursions in the West Philippine Sea. In a unanimous ruling dated June 29 this year, the Supreme Court unbacked, dismissed for utter lack of merit, the petition for mandamus filed by lawyer Romeo Esmero. Esmero entreated the president as the sole respondent, but the High Court said he is immune from suit. The court also noted a petition for the issuance of a writ of mandamus is the wrong remedy. A mandamus plea seeks to compel performance of a pre-existing duty, a ministerial function on the part of a board officer or person, provided that the petitioner has a well-defined and clear right. As Mero claimed, it is a ministerial duty of the president to defend the national territory, which includes the West Philippine Sea, established by UN arbitral tribunal, even suggesting that the president should sue China before the International Court of Justice or bringing the matter before the United Nations. But the Supreme Court, in the 9-page ruling penned by Associate Justice Rodriguez Alameda, said the president has the discretion how to proceed as the sole organ and authority in the external affairs of the country. The Supreme Court pointed out there is no law requiring the president to go to the United Nations or the ICJ, and neither has Esmero shown a clear and unmistakable constitutional or statutory provision prescribing how he should respond to any threat from another state. The High Court said former President Benigno Aquino III was not obligated to sue China through the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea in 2013, which led to a favorable ruling in 2016. And so President Duterte's move not to follow that track should not be taken to mean an unlawful abdication of his duty to protect and defend the national territory. As head of the state, Supreme Court said the president is free to use his own discretion, accountable only to his country and his political character and to his own conscience. All 13 other justices concurred with Zalameda. But in a separate concurring opinion, Associate Justice Marvick Leonin disagreed that the president is immune from any type of suit. He said that the president's immunity only extends to liability while he is in office, not accountability. And for this reason, he should not be prevented from any suit. Any suit regarding a writ of amparo or habeas data should not be covered by the immunity. Leonin had previously dissented to the Supreme Court ruling junking detained Senator Laila Dilima's writ of habeas data against Duterte's tirades. Dilima's petition was dismissed due to presidential immunity, but Leonin argued immunity does not cover extraordinary writs. However, since the plea of Esmero in the current case involved mandamus, Leonin voted with the majority to dismiss the petition. No petitions before the Supreme Court directly challenging the president, and his policies have so far succeeded. Previous petitions to compel him to release his health records or question his assertion to withdraw from the ICC without Senate concurrence failed. Neither did petitions challenging Bayanihan laws and the government's pandemic response or compelling the government to conduct mass testing prosper. Carmina?
Thanks a lot. Mike Navalio there joining us on the line. Appreciate it, Mike. Take care and you keep safe. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, we discuss the planned reopening of the country's borders to foreigners with tourism chief Bernadette Romulo Puyat. Dateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us here on ANC. We're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. A Philippine senator questioning how the Dargani siblings got past immigration officers during their botched attempt to flee the country. The World Health Organization warns Europe's COVID-19 death toll could top 2.2 million by March due to the latest surge. The Philippines planning to reopen its borders to foreigners from low-risk countries. And champion pole vaulter EJ Obiena hitting back at Philippine sports officials over allegations of mishandling funds. Back with more news. With the decline in COVID-19 cases in the Philippines, as well as plans to further ease health restrictions, Manila is now moving towards reopening its borders to foreigners from low-risk countries. Joining us now to tell us more about that plan, Tourism Chief Bernadette Romulo Puyat. Madam Secretary, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon, Carmina, and good afternoon to everybody watching show right now.
Right now, we are at this point. You were quoted to have said that it's been a long and hard road to recovery, and now the Philippines is gearing up to open its borders to foreign tourists. What is the latest on that? How soon can that happen?
Okay. Last Thursday, the IATF approved in principle already the accepting tourists from those in the green list. Of course, we've already been accepting our balikbayans. They've been allowed to come since December of 2020. But now, at least aside from balikbayans, we are now allowed to accept tourists from the green list countries. We are still finalizing. There are still certain administrative issues. And the green list, it's actually updated every 2 weeks, and it's based on the CDC. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at the list. We're hopefully by December 1, we'll be able to get the final list of the green list countries. And under the IATF rules, if you're coming from a country that's from the green list, you should first be fully vaccinated. Number two, you have to test 72 hours prior to departure. But what's good if you come from a green list country is there is no quarantine. Mm-hmm. So you're good to go.
Okay.
But of course, they're still discussing if they're going to only accept from visa-free countries from the green list.
So that's one of the issues that you're ironing out.
Yeah. Yes, those are some of the issues. And that has to be administrative because it's not only the Department of Tourism, but we also have to talk to the different departments.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, you mentioned a while ago the green list countries. That's going to be updated come December 1, but With the things that are happening in the U.S. and in Europe, you know, Secretary, people
yes.
were really hoping that the U.S. will open up as well, and that this is good for you know, a lot of people waiting for, you know, some friends to come on over and visit the country. Any chance that the U.S. can be added to the green list come December? Or go ahead.
As I've said, the Department of Health bases it on the US CDC. So that's whether you're in the green or the yellow list. It's not, I think, the DOH doesn't decide on it, but it's based on the US CDC. But the good news is, at least from 5 days, it has been reduced to 3 days. So it's now test before travel. And on the third day, you swab. When you're already negative, you're good to go. So at least from 14 days, it was reduced to 10. It was reduced to 5. And then now it's reduced to 3 days.
All right. Now, you also had an appeal the other week to LGUs to simplify travel requirements. Were your calls even heeded by the LGUs in question?
I hope so. Well, because Carmina, you, as you've known, you always interview me. But that's what we've been doing since last July. We've been going around the country making sure that our tourism workers are vaccinated. In fact, in Boracay alone, we not only vaccinated the tourism workers, but also the residents. Because when you talk about an island destination, you can't just say only the tourism. It goes as the whole island has to be vaccinated. In fact, we've also delivered already the vaccines for 12 to 17. And we've already vaccinated 100% of the residents and tourism workers in Boracay. And of course, last week when the governor announced that if you are fully vaccinated, you can already go to Boracay in lieu of a negative RT-PCR. So, of course, so many people were excited. They booked, but then the QR code didn't come. So we are appealing because since we've already vaccinated 100% of those in Boracay, and if there are, in fact, Carmina, the good news is we've already actually vaccinated 103%. So when I asked, bakit 103? Because they are rehiring.
Right.
So our active tourism workers are becoming larger because they are rehiring. Please make it simple kasi nakakaawa the travelers. A lot of the travelers think that it's the Department of Tourism that calls the shots in terms of travel protocols. It's the LGU. So nakakaawa because they're so excited they were going to go to Boracay or any other tourist destination. And ang dami-dami pang kailangan gawin na requirements. Please simplify because the travelers want to go to distress. And nasa-stress sila when they don't get their QR code. So we have been in talks with the LGU. They said that they would hire more people, etc. And make sure that the QR codes come on time. Because last week, a lot of the passengers were already in the airport. And since there was no QR code, they weren't able to travel.
So what's the weak link there, Secretary? Because if the LGUs are, you know, more than happy to welcome all these tourists.
Correct. That's why I'm also wondering.
Saan nagkakaproblema?
Sila ang weak link. Sorry. They should maybe simplify. Maybe I've already said that maybe you could already ask the hotels to help you. Kasi the hotels naman, di ba, when they get bookings, all they need is to get the vaccination card. And you know, if they're coming from NCR, we're already 100% first dose vaccinated here in NCR. Fully vaccinated, 94%. So we are saying that maybe the QR code, I don't know, you could take a look and not maybe ask for the QR code anymore. And then maybe the hotels are more than willing to help you get all the requirements. Sila na ang gagawa. Because pag booking lang naman, all they have to ask for is if you're vaccinated or not.
Yeah.
So we're just hoping. Well, according to the governor, they didn't expect too many people wanted to go to Boracay. So we are continually talking to them. I don't know. With us, the hotels are more than willing. You don't need to hire more people because the hotels are more than willing to do all the staff work for you.
So if it's
I think last weekend they already agreed with our idea.
Okay. It's going to be through the hotel bookings na
through the hotels na hotels daw can. No, we're asking sana kung pwede, kung book na sa hotel. Because it is also to the interest naman of the hotels na they accept also fully vaccinated.
Right.
Because they don't want naman another rise in cases. But the governor already, I think, agreed na, okay, the hotels can help. So at least yung QR code na lang. But eventually, we hope that, I don't know, maybe even the QR codes can be given by the hotel itself when they check in. Because to make it simpler, so para hindi na yung they're in the airport, naghihintay pa ng QR code.
Tapos, madali naman yan i-ano na lang eh, di ba? Parang
correct. And
ibigay
nala
alam kung anong itsura ng QR code so that you know that they're not faking it. Go ahead.
And then, Carmina, hindi pa long weekend, hindi pa Christmas season. So this was just like a taste of, but you know, I look at the positive. People want to travel,
yeah.
But people will only want to travel to distress themselves. Mm-hmm. Mas na stress sila.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping at least at the start we were telling them the hotels are welcome in helping you with the things that you need, the documents. Eh, kailangan lang naman added would be the vaccination card.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've said, here in NCR, practically most of the guests going naman to Boracay are from NCR.
Yeah.
We're practically fully vaccinated. And by the way, in Boracay, pag 12 years old and pababa, no need na to be even vaccinated or RT-PCR. So it makes it simpler.
Mm-hmm.
So we've already been vaccinating even 12 to 17.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We're our regional director. We're always talking to the LGU. I hope that they step up. But of course, we will always be here naman to help. But of course, there's only so much we can do because it is under the LGU.
Let me just go back to the green list. As you prepare to reopen the borders to foreign tourists, how much of a bump do you think that would give in terms of revenue? We all know that, you know, the tourism industry as well as the other industries have really suffered a lot because of this pandemic.
Correct. Tourism contributed 12.8% to the GDP. Though we are more reliant on domestic tourism, it's good. That the reason why we are finally able to accept tourists from the green list is because our cases are going down and we're getting vaccinated. It's a good sign that we are accepting. And of course, the more tourists that can come, the better.
All right.
Not only domestic, but from foreign countries.
Talking about foreign countries, you recently were in London.
Yes.
Finally left. You left the Philippines for a while there, attended the tourism ministers meeting there. What's the game plan for global tourism? What's the consensus? What's going to happen in the next couple of months?
Actually, the topic was really about sustainability. We were talking about how to promote sustainable tourism. Mm. But it was discussed that really Asia is really the last to open up in the whole world. Like, I think in Asia, it's only Thailand that has opened up without quarantine. Singapore has this vaccinated lanes, but only for certain countries.
Mm.
But all the other countries are still closed. I think that was they were asking if the Asia region could start opening up. But what was more important was the importance of, number one, vaccination. Number two was, even if vaccinated, to please follow minimum health and safety protocols. When I was talking to some of the ministers, the surge was because people weren't wearing masks anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So some European countries have reimposed the mask wearing. So I guess it's a lesson learned also for us that even if we're fully vaccinated, we still have to follow minimum health and safety protocols, as simple as wearing a mask.
Now, when you talk about sustainable tourism, that has been the call for many years now, but that has been underscored because of this pandemic and also because of now the drive for domestic tourism, because that would greatly help each and every country, you know, without having to open up the borders just yet.
Yeah. Well, sustainable tourism, as you said, even pre-pandemic, we've already been pushing for sustainable tourism. We started with Boracay. And actually now, the travelers now, during the pandemic, it's more evident they really want low density, not too much mass tourism, because diba, we always want to be safe. Whenever people travel now, they want to see less. Actually, they like to stick to their bubble. They don't want too many people.
Mm-mm.
Because of the pandemic. So with sustainable tourism, it's, as you've seen, well, of course, it was probably one of the only positive thing that COVID brought about was, you know, it allowed all the tourist destinations to recharge, to look, diba? We're seeing all our tourist destinations, it's more beautiful. But we've seen that the travelers now, under the new normal, they want to take care of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
They're now also into farm tourism. There are new products that the new travelers want during the pandemic, and that's, they want sustainable tourism. They want outdoor heritage culture. So with the pandemic, that has become more evident now.
All right. It seems like the sector, not just here but also abroad, it's really beginning to open up. Baby steps towards that main goal. But with what's happening in Europe and also now in the U.S., how might that impact this game plan? Ito na naman ho ba? Uurong sulong na naman ho ba tayo?
No, that's why it is important if those that countries that have experienced a surge, number one is vaccination. In fact, in Germany, they don't already accept unvaccinated in places. They only accept vaccinated people. Mm-hmm. So the importance is to vaccinate, and that's why we have a national vaccination program called by President Duterte from November 29 to December 1. Because number one, vaccination is important. And number two, what is more important is even if you're vaccinated, you still have to wear a mask. Minimum health and safety protocols have to be followed. Mm-hmm. So that's what other countries, European countries, were doing. Some thought that when they're vaccinated, they can do away with the mask. But now they're reimposing the mask wearing. So at least it's lessons learned for the Philippines as we are slowly opening up baby steps that we have to vaccinate. And number two, still follow minimum health and safety protocols. Para we won't, it won't happen that we will have a surge like what's happening in Europe right now.
And finally, Secretary Puyat, we all know that, you know, as Tourism Secretary, you don't play favorites, but we also know your penchant for all things Korean. And you also had a meeting recently, I think, with the ambassador of Korea to the Philippines. Is that sort of portentous of things to come? Is there going to be a bubble opening up soon between the two countries?
Yes, we're looking at travel bubbles because, of course, we are already allowing countries from the green list to enter tourists. But of course, we have a lot of, like, Korea is in the yellow list. We have a lot of, and even the Balikbayans are in the yellow list. We are looking at travel bubbles so that tourists from yellow countries can come to the country without quarantine, but they are in a bubble. And that's what we were discussing with the Korean ambassador yesterday.
But
we hope to do that with all our major partners.
Yeah. And is that going to be possible? Maybe beginning of next year? Maybe even before the year ends?
I hope so. Lalo na, you know, the Filipinos are K-pop fans. And, you know, when I posted that only in IG stories, Carmina, a lot were asking, dadating na ba ang BTS? Dadating na ba si Yunbin? Because that was what they were excited about. So we are working on that, on the travel bubble, so that our Korean friends, because Korea is actually our number one tourist.
Akala ko you were gonna say, Secretary, you're working on that na dadating ang BTS dito. Pero
well, yun din gusto, oo, kasi magmi-military na yata yung isa.
Pero, isa lang?
But
or lahat sila?
Dalawa ba? Oh, baka nga lahat, no? Sana wag. New army pa lang ako. Wag naman. But, you know, the Koreans really, I was just talking to our attaché based in Korea. They really want to come here. Mm. They are dying to come here. So we are talking, kasi alam mo, ito yung problema rin eh. Even if, let's say, they are in the green list, pagbalik naman nila, may quarantine sila. So that's important that it's two-way. Na when they come here, no quarantine, and pagbalik nila, no quarantine. Kasi, let's say our Korean friends, wala namang quarantine here, or coming from Japan, walang quarantine here. Kung pagbalik 14 days, hindi rin sila pupunta dito. So that's what we are working on, the travel bubble.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. Tourism Secretary Bernadette Romulo Puyat, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Carmina.
Take care. Keep safe. All right, moving on. The recommendation to ban children in malls, that's still under review. One of the advisors of the country's COVID-19 pandemic task force, Dr. Ted Hedwasa, says it would be much safer to restrict kids from entering enclosed areas such as malls for now. Duterte made the same appeal, citing another possible spike in COVID infections.
Yung ating mga kabataan below 12, dahil hindi pa natin nababakunahan, malamang sa kanila maglipat-lipat yung virus at baka mahawa pati yung ating mga vaccinated at yung mga unvaccinated na mga adults natin. Kung ako sa tatanungin, payag akong i-restrict o i-regulate ang pagpasok ng mga maliliit na bata, below 11, 11 and below, sa ating mga mall for leisure. Unless may talagang kailangan. O sa bata, ang recommendation ko, ilabas sa mga park yung open door na hindi gusali.
The possible extradition of Philippine pastor Apollo Quiboloy to the U.S., that will have to wait while a local case against him is pending review. That's according to Philippine Justice Secretary Minardo Guevara. U.S. prosecutors recently indicted the spiritual advisor of President Duterte for sex trafficking charges. But Secretary Guevara says his department is currently reviewing the dismissal of a case against the Kingdom of Jesus Christ founder. A woman who said she was raped by Quiboloy as a minor in 2014 filed rape, child abuse, and human trafficking charges against him and five other church members in 2019. The case was dismissed by the Davao Prosecutor's Office in 2020, citing lack of evidence.
Nire-review na dito sa Department of Justice at mayroong posibilidad na yun ay ma-resolve pretty soon. And this is irrespective of the criminal proceedings doon sa U.S. Pero ayon din sa ating treaty with the U.S., pwede rin naman kung i-request ng U.S. government na hiramin, no, quote-unquote, hiramin muna yung proposed extradite, kung sino man siya, para iharap naman doon sa kanilang sariling prosecution sa U.S. Upon the undertaking na pagka natapos na nila yung prosecution sa U.S., ibabalik huli nila dito sa Pilipinas para matuloy naman or matapos yung ating sariling court proceedings. Pwede rin nangyari yun.
Guevara also notes Manila has yet to receive an extradition request for Quiboloy from U.S. authorities. World news, a child who was injured when a car plowed into a Christmas parade in Wisconsin has passed away. The death toll from the tragedy is now at 6. 62 people were injured in that incident, and some are still in critical condition. The culprit, Daryl Brooks, made his first appearance or court appearance on Tuesday. Bail was set at $5 million. Prior to the tragedy, Brooks had just been released from custody stemming from a domestic abuse case.
I have no problem. I just, with that bail, it's extraordinarily high, but it's an extraordinarily big case. It's an extraordinarily serious case with an extraordinary history of this gentleman, of fleeing, of hurting people, of not following court orders, not following criminal laws, not following just your societal norms. So I know that that's extraordinarily high bail. It's warranted here, and I am setting cash bail in the amount of $5 million.
We're going to take a break now. Still ahead, the U.S. releasing oil from its strategic reserves in a bid to further cool prices. Details when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. In business, the U.S. will release 50 million barrels of oil from its strategic reserves in a bid to further cool prices after OPEC repeatedly ignored calls for more crude. This will be done with some of the world's largest oil consumers, including China, India, South Korea, Britain, and Japan. This is the first time the U.S. coordinated such a move. India has so far committed to release 5 million barrels of oil from its reserves.
This coordinated action will help us deal with a lack of supply, which in turn helps ease prices. The bottom line, today we're launching a major effort to moderate the price of oil, an effort that will span the globe in its reach and ultimately reach your corner gas station, God willing. It will take time, but before long, you should see the price of gas drop where you fill up your tank. And in the longer term, we will reduce our reliance on oil as we shift to clean energy. But right now, I will do what needs to be done to reduce the price you pay at the pump.
OPEC and its allies repeatedly rebuffed requests to pump more oil at their monthly meetings. The group will meet again next week to discuss policy, but it has so far shown no indication it will change tack. Moody's Analytics sees the Asia-Pacific region's economy growing by 4.3% in 2022. It's slower compared to its previous forecast of a 5.6% expansion. But that was artificially high because of the low base in 2020. For next year, Moody's expects the easing in social distancing rules to fuel economic recovery. It also noted how goods-producing countries buoyed the region in recent months due to the increase in export volume, which Moody's believes will continue until next year. The rising vaccination rates across the region boosted the outlook as well. Over in the U.S., retailers have turned Black Friday into a month-long event with holiday promotions launched earlier than usual to beat supply disruptions. Take a look.
Black Friday. It's an American shopping tradition that's been duplicated all over the world. But this year, the post-Thanksgiving holiday shopping bonanza is likely to be much different in the U.S. than recent years. And it's not just because of the health crisis, says Jeremy King. He's CEO and founder of Attest, a retail data company.
Supply chain disruptions are a big problem. So consumers are worried that the items that they want to get won't be available at Christmas time in the holidays in December, either because of stockouts driven by supply chains in Europe and North America, or simply because everything's going to get sold out in Black Friday because it lasts so long now. But 42% of consumers say that they've begun their Christmas shopping early in Black Friday, in Black November, because they're concerned about supply chains.
And retailers started stocking up what they could and offered holiday discounts earlier than normal. Many major U.S. retailers, Walmart, Target, Macy's, all cited an early start to the holiday shopping season for solid third quarter sales figures. So what's left for bargain hunters who typically wait for Black Friday to stock up on gifts? Shoppers in New York City were out early hunting for sales, and they weren't impressed.
Not really finding any good deals.
I haven't really seen too many deals, but we're going to keep walking around to see if we find deals.
But that's not likely to dampen the entire holiday shopping season. The National Retail Federation is predicting 2 million more people will shop Thanksgiving Day through Cyber Monday this year compared to last year. And spending for the entire holiday season is projected to rise to a new record.
Sports news now. Philippine champion pole vaulter E.J. Obiena admits to paying his coach late, as alleged by the Philippine Athletics Track and Field Association, or PATAFA. But he insists making late payments is not a crime. Obiena adds his coach Petro Vitali told him he never filed a complaint about it. Obiena also says he previously asked PATAFA to handle the salaries of his team, citing his busy training schedule. But that request was ignored.
I would just want them to retract whatever they are accusing me, especially if it's situation manipulated into some kind of confusion. I would just want them to clear it out. What is the intention in all of this? If they want me to continue or not, then that is entirely their call. I'm really sorry to say to all the Filipino people, it's not my decision to make. If this drags on, I'm the one losing. I'm the one who's not going to be able to train. So I said my motivation is to perform at my best in Paris, and this is counterproductive to that.
But PATAFA President Philip Wico asserts all athletes do liquidations. He also defends their probe into Obiena's use of funds.
Hindi personal ito. This is part of good governance. Mm. Okay, this is part of accountability, transparency. A certain amount of money was entrusted to you. Pinagkatiwala sa iyo. There is a board resolution coming from PSC stating, dito mo gagamitin yan, ha? Bigla na lang si Petro, the coach, wrote an email and said, binayaran na ako, Mr. Obiena, noong 85,000 euro. That's about 5 million pesos. Yung ibinayad na sa kanya, galing sa iba-ibang sources.
Mm.
Hindi galing sa yung binigay na pera ng yes. Galing sa iba-ibang sources. Okay? Merong dalawa galing sa Arab Bank in Dubai.
Mm-mm.
Okay? Which was also used in an earlier transaction.
Mm-mm.
Merong isa galing sa kanya. Kay Mr. Obiena. Sa isang bank sa Germany.
Mm-hmm.
N20. Parang Gcash daw. Tapos, merong dalawa galing sa mother niya.
Hmm.
Yung mother ni EJ, at that time, was an officer of Patapa, auditor.
A look now at some of the stories featured on news.abs-cbn.com. SNR Membership Shopping says it is ramping up cybersecurity protocols following a cyber attack. SNR says limited contact information of its members may have been compromised, but it asserts credit card and other financial information are safe and secure. And presidential candidate Senator Manny Pacquiao gets his very own wax figure at Madame Tussauds in Hong Kong. The wax figure, which used Pacquiao's actual boxing shorts, shoes and gloves, was officially unveiled Tuesday. For more on these stories, head on over to abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Playback this newscast too on ANZ's YouTube channel and on ANZ 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the news channel.